Okay, my name is Carl Ensign, Senior Director of Planning and Evaluation at AFSCO. This is our planning guide, if you want a copy of it. I'll leave them up here that we've come out with in the last year. Going to be walking you through it and some state examples of how they've used it. I have nothing to disclose. The funding for this project came through a grant from CDC. It was part of the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, or NPHI. ASTA was one of five federal partners providing capacity building assistance to states, territories, and tribes across the country. My particular area, of course, is planning and evaluation. So we were providing capacity building assistance in that, and that's how this planning guide came about. Okay, see if we're all awake. Customer satisfaction is up since we phased out the complaint forms. customer satisfaction is definitely part of accreditation. There must be two examples of how customer stakeholder feedback was collected and analyzed from two different types of customers. So I think that's important. First of all, you have to be doing it more than once. It's always a good idea. Also, two different types of customers tells us if FAB is onto something. Because what is our customer? And we'll be going through that. Oops, you've already seen that. So I get questions from states who are, you know, seeing the FAB accreditation standards, and their supervisor has told them to start surveying customers, and the first thing they want to know is, when can I start? What survey should I use? That's not really the right question. So you all are experienced with this. What would be the right question to ask? See if anyone's awake. Very good, right off the bat. What do you want to know? So I keep going backwards, but it's not when I can start surveying or what survey should I use. It's what do I want to learn? That's the first place to start. And that really leads us to this nine-step process is how we develop this strategic planning guide that kind of guides you through thinking through your survey, and it begins with identifying the purpose. So this may be too small to see, but I can walk you through it. And again, there are copies up here if you want to know. Here are some different purposes that we've found that states have used. I'll just be walking through a number of these. But let's start up here at the top with Michigan and Florida, who are monitoring customer satisfaction of services and activities at an overview level that can be applied to a range of activities, enabling states to compare performance across programs or aggregate program performance across programs and jurisdictions. So that's one approach. Here's Florida's customer satisfaction survey. Several things we learned in our customer satisfaction surveys as we undertook this analysis to put this strategic planning guide together. The field really believes in two things, and that is one, making it very short and distinct. So really thinking about what you want to learn and targeting it and making it so it usually fits on one page. Otherwise, you're just going to lose people. And secondly, when are you going to hit people so that they'll fill it out, so you kind of have a captive audience? So you want to get your response rate up, both in terms of completely filling out the survey and at a time when people have time to spend on the survey. So this is Florida's customer satisfaction survey. And at the state level, they went through a really interesting planning process. That's why I want to highlight them under purpose. They wanted their services to be accessible. The service or information was clear and understandable. They wanted to have courtesy in their district offices. A staff that was knowledgeable, a staff that was helpful, and there was a timeliness component, and then an overall. So that was their purpose, was really to focus on how well they were doing accessibility, clarity, courtesy, knowledge, helpfulness, and timeliness. And then they just simply gave it to the respondents to fill out the program that they were encountering. And then those are aggregated at a district level and compared at a state level on a regular basis. Another purpose that we frequently get inquiries about is asking stakeholders, including local health departments, to provide feedback on collaborative activities with state services. So in the first example, your customer is maybe someone coming into the public health clinic or someone asking for assistance. Here, it's your fellow collaborators. So two very different ways to think about customers.
But a useful way, I think.
So New York, when they were developing their 2008-2012 prevention agenda, asked folks, and again, they had a captive audience, so they brought their collaborators together before they opened the doors to let them go. They asked them these questions throughout the sessions. What went well, not so well? How do we achieve greater participation from folks like you? How can we ensure that our new plan addresses disparities in each of the priority areas? On and on and on. So right there, that'd be two very different sets of customers, as we talked about meeting the FAB accreditation standards.
Okay, so step one, identify purpose. Comparing feedback from client stakeholder subgroups.
Here's one more example.
So in Michigan, this allows us to look at which one of these services folks receive and then how well the staff met the criteria about serving them, how they found out about it. So those are some examples on the first step alone.
I want to spend some time on that because it's just so important to really think about where you're going and your purpose. Select programs and customers would be the second one. After you've decided on your purpose, and of course these two are very closely aligned. We found some guidance here, though, in that King County, Washington, kind of interesting. After they decided on their purpose, they really told them that on the largest number of people served, clear opportunities to improve, so they went after areas that they were unsure how they were doing. It was a high strategic priority, so they prioritized all their programs and came up with the select ones that they were going to target in terms of measuring customer satisfaction. And of course, depending on which customers you select, your type of survey will vary dramatically. The words, for instance, in the collaboration customer satisfaction survey were much longer and involved. It's a higher level of education assumed there than going back to the one that Florida gave, where they asked some very simple questions about how they were doing in terms of knowledge. And in the question, they didn't even use knowledge. They said, how well did the staff understand your problem? So the customer, of course, determines much of this in step two.
Step three, very important to think early on how the results will be used.
And again, trying to think about how we can make this information collection and how we act upon it part of the culture of quality improvement. So some ideas: public reporting and annual reports, performance reports, websites, newsletters to stakeholders, departments, and customers, internal reporting to program staff, strategic and business planning analysis, information for grant applications. Quite frankly, we found that when we surveyed states on how they did this, they weren't always able to answer the question about how they looped back and acted on the information, yes, but less so how they fed it back to the customers from which they collected the information. We did find one or two examples of clinics that made a habit of posting on a bulletin board how they were doing in terms of customer satisfaction, but that feedback loop, if you're collecting it from your customers, whoever they are, feeding it back, saying this is what we learned from you, was rather weak. So I think that's an area that definitely some improvement could happen. And if you know of any examples, I'd like to hear about it because I'd like to highlight it.
Step four, very important as well. You could do a very expensive survey, but of course your time and effort will determine how much you can do.
So we're going to look at different methods for collecting information on a number of different domains. This one is in terms of the cost. So of course, the telephone survey would be the most costly. We can find some examples of that. Mail would be a little less, and office paper a little less. Email web-based, of course, is the most efficient. Put together a survey on any number of software programs that are out there. Email people the link, give them regular reminders. You can see your response rate. It calculates the results for you. So technology has really caught up with us there. But in terms of, so that would be what's involved there. I'll get back to that. Sample size, of course, the larger the sample size, the more costly. And the more we go after open-ended questions, which really isn't recommended in terms terms of customer satisfaction. You want people to check a box. It's very easy. Otherwise, you start losing people and you're getting results that are kind of all over the place. So the more open-ended, the more time you're going to have to spend on coding. That being said, most customer satisfaction surveys do include an open-ended comment box for people to enter whatever they want. And then you can tabulate, analyze that according to your budget. Another area that's frequently overlooked is really thinking about the people who will be the end users of analysis or the customers themselves and making sure you bounce the survey off of them. Technical experts, we've had more examples of when folks turn to technical experts, less so in terms of turning to management and saying, is this really the information you want? How are you going to act upon this? Is it collected in a way that will be able to give you back the results you need? So again, a very frequently overlooked step and a very important one. And we haven't even gotten to the place that unfortunately most people start, and that is designing the survey and getting it out in the field. That now comes in step 6, which is designing a survey. I'm sure many of you have expertise in this area, but just some of the things we highlight in the guide we put together, I talked about this, making surveys short, making questions clear with appropriate literacy levels, avoid double-barreled questions, were your needs addressed in a timely fashion, and were you happy with the way they were addressed? Use conventional language, make questions easy to answer. Survey customers, as soon as they have encountered the intervention you're interested in, feedback on, we've all gone to these conferences, and a week later you get an email saying, please respond to our survey, and by then you're on to other things. So it's really best to hit people right after they've experienced the intervention that you're interested in getting feedback on, or where they're at that time and place where you want to hear from their feedback. Keep the questions standard over time. Now, of course, things change and evolve, and we should revisit surveys. We should be doing surveys on a regular basis. But the more you change questions, of course, the more that inhibits your ability to conduct analysis over time to see how you're doing. Are questions on key factors, kind of self-evident. And I know I'm running out of time. I can see you nervously looking at your watch, Alistine. I'm almost done. This is one more table that's important because, again, we have mail surveys, email, web-based, telephone surveys, in-office paper surveys, and it shows the response rate, speed, cost per completed survey, anonymity level, ability to clarify survey questions and responses, and possible administrative bias. So, again, cost is an issue, but also survey response is an issue, and it's just kind of balancing those two factors. In the interest of time, I'll keep moving forward because I want to hear the other presentations. Pilot the survey, analyze the data, report and follow up within the Plan, Do, Study, Act cycle. And this is how you access the guide. Again, there are some copies on the front row, but you can go to our website. Simply search for customer satisfaction, it'll come right up, or you can contact me directly. Thank you.